Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Joel Elkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show. Now, I hope everybody enjoyed Joel's segment on last weekend's weekend show, and I know he was pretty negative on these markets. So, Joel, we're going to look at some of the other factors, I think, that are playing into investors' mentalities that I think share a lot of the negative sentiment for the U.S. equity markets. Let's talk yield curve, because if you look at the 2- and 10-year yields in terms of that yield curve, well, it is just inverted, negative 0.01 right here. So look, a lot of people will point to a negative yield curve and say a recession is coming. That's a big question because, well, a lot of people are thinking a recession is coming, and yield curve, when it does invert, usually about 12 months out, we do get a recession. But again, it is just one factor to consider. Joel, what's your thoughts on the yield curve actually starting to invert now?
Well, a couple comments here. I just felt so bad. I couldn't sleep all weekend. I was such a negative Nancy on Friday. And I'm like, oh my gosh, all the Cortland Economic Report people are going to hate me and everything. But and then the market rallies on Monday. And I'm like, oh my Lord, I'm looking like a dope. But no, I'm still cautious on these markets, Corey. And we could talk about the inverted yield curve. I think, the 2-year, you got to look at what's happened over the last couple years with the pandemic and Omicron, also the war. That's pushed people towards a little bit more parking some cash. So that's perhaps artificially propped up the 2-year in relation, to the 10 years. So I can't predict, if the inverted yield curve is going to be right this time. Because it's been wrong several other times. The other thing that that you have to keep in mind is that it doesn't predict a recession. It's not an imminent recession. It could be anywhere from 6 months to 12 months to 18 months out. With the unemployment where it is, overall the eyeball test in the economy, I'd say, a recession isn't imminent, but it just is how much, the Fed has to do to, fight inflation and bump up rates and the effect that, that's going to have on the consumer.
Yeah, Joel, there's usually a lagging indicator, if it's correct at all, as far as the yield curve inverting. But most people are looking at where will these policies be a year from now, 6 months from now, and how will they be impacting the economy? Another indicator sometimes that the recession's about a year off is when oil and gas prices double, and some would say they've almost tripled from where they were at $20 to $30 to now over $100. There is some concerns that a fresh round of sanctions on Russia from the EU may impact the energy sector. Do you give any credence to that, that the persistent high energy prices, part of that's due to inflation and part of that's due to the war, could that be another thing that puts the brakes on the economy over the longer term?
For sure. I mean, besides housing and food, energy is, the next biggest component of many people's budget. Not me, because I don't go anywhere. Yeah, so that's going to be a factor. I think what some of the statistics are showing is that, people are buying the same amount, steady amounts. They're not using it up as fast. So I think maybe the consumer is, consolidating trips or doing things to avoid that crunch at the pump. But not only on the energy front, but with the disruption in, the other commodity places in the supply chain from the pandemic on top of what's going on in the Ukraine. For sure. I mean, oil prices are, they look sustainable at these levels. So definitely going to put a crimp into the consumer's pocketbook and definitely be another contributing factor to a recession. I guess I'm not so worried about a recession, but what you have to be more concerned about is stagflation. If, inflation just keeps on running and the economy doesn't pick up, you have a problem there. And then I don't want to use the D word after my chat last Friday, But, you know, the next step after a recession is a depression. And, you know, we haven't had, I mean, we've had crashes in the stock market, but, you know, there hasn't been a full-blown, you know, depression in our country in almost 100 years. So don't like to use the D word, but when you're talking about the R word and the S word, I guess you got to throw that word in there.
You're right. It does need to be considered. But again, who knows where this is all going to go? More on an investment time frame, though. Yields moving higher. Energy has done well. Are there any high yielding assets or investments that you like out there, Joel, that people could maybe put their money in and say, at least I'm not just getting eroded away by this higher inflation?
I mean, we talked about this off air, and we also talked about this last week. You know, the utilities, you know, and the in these REITs, and, you know, I just, you know, they're at such nosebleed levels. It just, I feel like I'm just so late to the game. But, you know, your utilities, we discussed a couple different REITs. I think if you look at the REITs, I think I'd probably be more interested in like the rental REITs because, you know, the housing market has become not affordable for a lot of people, not only, you know, the pricing, the labor costs, the input costs. So maybe I, you know, favor some REITs that, you know, have their income, not office space, but apartment complexes. People are going to need a place to live, recession, stagflation, depression, or whatever. So that's a place to go. Utilities, you know, for years I invested in them, not heavily invested now, kind of wish I was after this recent run, but that's where your yield is at.
Well, it does make me wonder, Joel, if the interest rates are rising and if we have this rate hiking cycle going on, how the real estate market will be impacted. Typically, rising rates eventually topple the pricing element and bring the prices back down because interest rates are rising. Do you think that may affect REITs? Do you think that may affect both commercial or residential real estate?
I think, well, the housing stocks are telling you what they think right now. The XHB, S&P home builders did not participate in that rally at all. Now back on the lows of the move, actually at its lowest level since, what month is this here? Since March of 21. Yeah, for sure. That's why I said, you know, the rental REITs, you know, the apartments, people are not going to be able to afford the houses and moving into houses, or they're going to have to give up their house and move into apartments. So the office market, I'd be cautious on. And also, you know, the home builders, you have to be cautious on at this point. But like I said, you have to do your own research to dig in the apartment REITs or, you know, the student housing on the big campuses. I think, is ACC still around? American Campus Communities? Yeah, boom, look at that puppy, right up near all-time high. So that's what I'd be looking at. And I don't know if I'd jump into one in, you know, like New York City or, you know, the big you know, the big cities, because they're getting very expensive. But, you know, maybe your midtown America, you know, your intermediate sized cities where, you know, the cost of living is still somewhat affordable. That's what I would look at.
Yeah, look at ACC. Wow. And on good volume, too. That stock has been performing very well ever since that COVID crash, which actually does bring up something here, Joel, is that as negative as people can be on these markets, there are still some sectors doing well, and we haven't seen just a complete crash in terms of volume either. People are out there trading, and there is still money to be made. So how do you take away from that environment where, as negative as people are, look, there are still assets, still investments doing well?
Well, I'm just very conservative in what I own, and, you know, as far as the, you know, the short-term trading, I think right now, I think you just got to have your head on a swivel. And prime example today, you know, and I mean, I actually got tagged by it short this morning, 10 o'clock, you know, manufacturing data comes up. They jack it up to the high of the session, just take out the pre-market high. They hit my stop. And within 10 seconds, boom, you get one statement out of Brainerd about, you know, Excel, information that you already know that the Fed is going to become more aggressive. And now it just straight down. I mean, just straight down. And we're at the lows of the session. We're almost back to where I was when I was on Friday. So a little vindication here, but I'd be very careful in this market. And you know, I always say, you know, where you're at in your investment horizon. You know, how old are you? Are you buying a new car? Do you have a kid going to college? Do you do these kind of things? Having your money in cash, yeah, you're going to be losing out to inflation. But would you rather be losing out in inflation or, you know, have a stock going down 25, 30, 40% on you? So you just have to, you know, base it where you are and, you know, in your life cycle and make the appropriate decisions. Everyone has a different portfolio balance. I've always been erred on the cautious, too much on the cautious side. It doesn't feel that good when the market's ripping. But on day, you know, in down days and sustained periods and of downtrends, I look at my portfolio. I'm like, hey, you know, I'm not down 8, 9, 10%. So, you know, conservative value investing approach is paid in the long run. And timing, it's someone gave a good quote. It's not the timing in the market; it's the time in the market. So, very hard, you know, as a long term investor to get in and out and catch all the, you know, the bumps and rises. But, you know, sometimes we just got to pull on the horns, no matter how much it hurts. And don't look at like my stock was at 80. I bought it at 20. It's now at 60. Well, I lost 20 bucks, right? Don't look at it that way. Look at your cost basis and look where you're at on it. And don't, because if you do that, there's a lot of stocks that aren't going back to where they were. And you're just gonna make yourself miserable thinking about where you could have sold it.
Some great points there, Joel, about people's time horizon, risk tolerance, and really how they should look at analyzing their cost basis and their portfolios. I guess just one more question is, for a couple of years, it seemed like valuations were completely unhinged. You know, the PE ratios and the price to book and all those things didn't make any sense. And you had said several times that valuations don't matter until they matter. We're getting, you know, we've wrapped up the first quarter. We're going to be getting some of those earnings reports coming in at the end of April, you know, end of May. Do you think that there's going to be more of a return to normalcy in how people start valuing these companies now, that they actually will start looking at some of those traditional metrics? Will valuations matter this time around?
Well, they have mattered with the growth stocks, but I think it'll be interesting to me will be to see how, because I mean, it's always like, you know, you don't know. But like Apple's going to beat, right? Microsoft is going to beat. Google's going to beat. Just going to see how you know, they react to these beats. And that will be the thing. If they have pops and drops, you know, then I'd be more concerned. You know, also for overall market flavor, you guys know, I repeat it, that Apple, Microsoft, Google, Amazon, and now Tesla, that's 25, 30% of the index. Apple's just had an unprecedented run off the March low. Tesla, we all know what Tesla's done since then. So, you know, keep an eye on the big boys, because if those big boys start to sputter, then they're going to, it doesn't matter. It's not going to matter what your stock does, what your company does and what they report, because they have the ability to drag down the other market. And then the other thing that's concerning to me is the way these bank stocks are acting. They're not acting like, you know, they're going to be reaping the benefits of a higher interest rate environment. They're acting like we're going into a flat out recession and people aren't going to want to borrow money and people are not going to be able to pay their loans. And then also the thing about the banks is you don't know until you know what exposure they have over there in Russia. I guess J.P. Morgan talked about $1 billion. So, you know, that's another thing. Maybe the street is anticipating some big write downs from the result of the Russian crisis.
Joel, wrap it up there. But that is a very interesting point, is that the banks, in an environment where it seems like they should be doing better with higher rates, are not getting the love from the market. And that could be the market telling us that, yeah, a recession is around the corner, or that they do have some investments that need to be written off. Who knows what the exact reason is, but we do need to focus on those kind of misallocations, I guess, especially when they can point to something a bit more dire for the markets, especially the bank stocks. All right, Joel, thank you as always for your time, buddy. Great chatting with you again. I hope you have a great rest of your week, and we'll chat again next week.
All right, thank you.